Today's reading is from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good to see everyone. Good to have our visitors with us. Appreciate your presence today. My title's getting longer and longer, but that's okay. We're looking at the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. And what we're going to look at is blessed are the meek. And with that reading in Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 12, I made just this opening statement for my lesson today. Apostle Paul is writing to those in Colossae who have obeyed the law of God through Christ and have become a new spiritual person with new character and new character elements that reflect that of one who is in Christ. So the Beatitudes, as we look at the Beatitudes teach mankind how they can become that new person. And I think that's one of the elements for us as we study this, that we need to understand for what benefits we have from the Beatitudes. And so as we look at this, verse 5, Matthew 5, verse 5, Jesus says, there in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what does it mean to be meek? That's a word that is, or a character trait that is often misunderstood. So many times people misjudge a person that is meek, or mild, we might say, or gentle, we might say, meekness, or someone who displays meekness or gentleness. We've often misunderstood what that means. But people feel like that a person that is meek or that is gentle is just a pushover, someone that is really weak, someone that is easily manipulated, someone that is easily mistreated. And at times, the meek person, you know, as they're being mistreated, as they're being kind of tormented a little bit, they'll tolerate that kind of behavior from others. But then suddenly, that person that is meek, mild, gentle will push back. And that is so often the person that is the bully. They're surprised by the action of the meek as they're picking themselves up off the floor. And I know this to be a fact because I've seen it happen. As an assistant coach, in my really early years as an assistant coach, we had a taller, bigger, older basketball player picking on one of the younger. I think the taller boy was a senior in high school, and the younger boy was a sophomore in high school. And he was a very meek person. He was considerably shorter. But I always thought that this boy, even though he's shorter, is very stout. But he was very meek. He was someone that was easily teased, I guess you might say. And so this older boy would tease him. And it wasn't anything physical. It was just constant just teasing, just joking around at his expense, you might say. He would harass him. He just became a pest. And anyone in that situation would want that to stop. And he thought it was all funny. He thought it was okay because it was all in good fun and no big deal. And after all, he's just joking around. Well, I sit that boy down one time and I talked to him. I said, I tell you what, you're misjudging the one that you're picking on, because he may seem and appear to be meek, but you ever watch him play basketball? When you watch him out on the court, he's not that way. He's very aggressive. He's very physical. He gets up and down the court really well. He's very strong. I said, I think you're misjudging who he is, and I think sometime you're not giving him enough credit, and someday he's going to fool you. Well, sure enough, this young boy in the locker room, he had reached his breaking point, and they got in a tussle. And just as I had predicted, this younger, smaller, mild-mannered, meek young boy overpowered the older kid, and I mean beat him to a pulp before we could get it stopped. And ironically, after that, they became really good friends. It's funny how that works out, isn't it? But, you know, sometimes we're fooled by somebody that's meek and mild. So we got to wonder, blessed are the meek. Does that mean, okay, that's a very timid person? We expect that person to be someone, at least the world does, expects that person to lie down under adversity. When things get complicated or the people push back on them, that they become very passive and they faint under duress. We would never consider any of our leaders, or would want a leader to be really, in that, as far as that definition goes, to be meek like that. We don't want them to be mild, or we don't really want them to be gentle. That's not what they look for when they look for a king. They wanted someone that was strong, that stood above. King Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else. He looked the part. He looked like he was strong. Turns out he was pretty weak. But our modern world, we want somebody to be a leader to be forceful. We want him to be aggressive. We want him to possess ruling qualities that are dominant and never submissive. But I want to look at our religious leader. Who is our religious leader? Who's our spiritual leader? Jesus. He's our spiritual leader. And why I say that, now God is too, obviously. But Jesus is God on earth. He's our spiritual leader because so often, as we read in the New Testament scripture, we're to be like him. And we want to be like our leader. So I want to look at that and what he says. Here's our spiritual leader. He says in Matthew chapter 11, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He seems like when he makes these statements that he's really meek, he's really mild, he's really gentle. And I want to come back to that and talk about that in just a little bit. But what does he mean when he says, come to me? What do you think he means when he says, come to me? What does that mean to you? Be like him. Yeah, to be like me. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow in my footsteps. I want you to be like me. I want you to be a disciple. And if you'll follow me, and you'll be like me, and you'll do what I do, then I will lead you right to rest. You can learn from me. You can learn from me. And if you'll do that, you'll learn to be like me. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. I want to give you some Greek words, what gentle means or meek means. Meek and gentle often is interchangeable. And not always, but gentle and meek are often interchangeable in the scripture. And in the Greek, the word meekness means mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit. It's an attribute that the Christian really must embrace, because the Bible tells us to embrace gentleness. It tells us to embrace, not those words exactly, but that's what it means, to embrace meekness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's listed as one of the nine fruits that the Apostle Paul includes in Galatians chapter 5. But then I'm just going to read verse 23. He says, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Timothy was instructed to pursue certain characteristics that would make him a very strong evangelist. Now listen, that's a difference between what the world might define as meekness. He's to be a strong evangelist. He's to be a strong Christian. He's to be a strong example. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, it says, but you, O man, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Yet be a strong evangelist. By the world's definition, meekness means weakness. Someone that's easily subdued. Someone who lacks courage, who can't stand up for themselves, who is a pushover. Even in Webster's dictionary, it seems to view meekness from the worldly standpoint. It says that meekness is someone that is deficient in spirit and courage. And it doesn't have that. Dictionary.com shares the worldview with a very... Does that come up on there? Yeah, it did. Dictionary.com shares the worldview with a similar definition. Overly submissive or compliant. Now, why would Apostle Paul tell Timothy to pursue gentleness or meekness and then send him out as an evangelist just to go and cower in a corner? You know what, though? That's kind of a problem, isn't it? So often, those that sometimes I'm really bold behind the pulpit, but I am not so bold when it comes to spiritual matters when I'm with others. Now that's a problem. I might take on the form of some of this gentleness and meekness that the world expects me to be. That's a problem. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, starting with verse 2, he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, no matter what happens. Preach the word, you be ready. And here's what you got to do. You got to convince, you got to rebuke, you got to exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll find somebody that they want to be their leader, their spiritual leader, just as long as they teach something that they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Endure afflictions. Paul says, Timothy, because you're going to go out there and preach the word, people are going to come after you. And they're going to try to do what they do to me. They're going to try to imprison you. Some might even try to kill you. So how could the work of an evangelist be accomplished? Especially this middle one. How could the work of the evangelist be accomplished if one that had to convince, rebuke? What's the word rebuke mean? What's it mean to rebuke? Okay, yeah. They hear something, they know it's not right, they're going to stand up and tell the truth, aren't they? They're going to rebuke what's wrong. How can someone that's going to be an evangelist, convince, rebuke, exhort, How can that person be weak? How can that person be timid? How could that person be afraid or submissive? For Timothy to be an evangelist the way he had to be, he had to have moral courage. To be a Christian, you have to have moral courage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Someone who is meek by the world's definition would not stand up for the faith, would not share in the suffering that Paul shared in for the sake of the gospel, but would be submissive, would be quiet, would run when they are spiritually confronted. I'd be lying if I said, sometimes in points in my life, that I didn't run because I was spiritually confronted. I wouldn't do that today, but when I was younger, I probably did. That's shameful. Our Lord was not meek, as in the world's definition. Even though he says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." And I want to just clarify or say this, and this is my, when I listen to Jesus speak, when I listen to his words as he is expounding those on the Sermon on the Mount, I hear someone that speaks very gently. Now, obviously, he may have had to have his voice carry some, but he's really gentle. He's really loving. He's really meek. He's the kind of person that I would want to listen to. He's the kind of person that I could tell really cared about me. And he's somebody that, you know, despite who he was on the earth, he never, in my opinion and my estimation, you never thought of him as someone saying, "I'm better than you." And so often even in our own brotherhood, I listen to other speakers, it's almost as if they're saying to you, "I'm better than you. You better listen to what I'm saying." There's almost an arrogance about them. But Jesus was never that way. If he was, then he couldn't have allowed himself to be put to death. He didn't. He came, he said, "I'm here to serve. I'm a servant." And that's the attitude and that's the voice that I hear coming from him. A meek and loving and mild human being who is wanting to connect with everyone else. He says, "I am gentle, I am lowly in heart." But listen, despite that, when he seen something that he knew action had to be taken, he took it. John chapter 2, verse 13, we're all familiar with this. "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.'" And I'm going to save this last verse. And can you imagine being the disciples seeing this? Here's this one that we've been sitting with. He's been conversing with us. He's so tender. He's so mild. He's so meek. He's so loving. And all of a sudden they see this and they think, "Whoa. What's going on? What's happened to him?" And they realize something that's really important, which is still important today. In God's house, the house of worship, it's our sanctuary. It's our place of peace. It should not be disrupted in any way. It should be respected. And they remembered something. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." It should be something that you revere, because it's God's house, and it should be respected. And Jesus is pointing that out, even though he's meek and he's mild. Does that sound like someone that's meek or that is weak and submissive? Jesus had all power that was available to him from the Holy Spirit. All power. He could cast out demons. He could heal the sick. He could heal sicknesses where there was no healing. There was nothing that could be done. A leper. He'd go and touch that person and they would be healed. That was unheard of. That was unbelievable. You go touch somebody that has leprosy because you're going to contract it. He would touch them and they would be healed. He could raise the dead. People that had died, he could raise them from the dead. He emptied himself to die on the cross for us. For the sake of humanity, he became submissive to the will of his Father. Does that sound like somebody that was weak and was a coward? He tells us to take up our cross daily and to follow him. Take up your cross daily and to follow him, follow me. Which that implies several things to me. I think about that and I think we've got to do that every single day. That's the first thing. Every single day. You don't get to take a day off. You take up your cross daily and you follow me. And if you follow me, I'll lead you to rest. Take up your cross and follow me. And it implies several things to me. What that implies to me, because he was willing to die for me, I need to be willing to die for him. Does that sound like the road that a weak person would want to travel or could travel? No, it takes spiritual, strong, morally courageous individual to travel that road that Jesus trod. In short, Christianity is not for the weak. Now, when Jesus says to come after him, he is saying to be an imitator of me. Surrender your life to me, just as he surrendered his life to God, his will. Surrender your will to me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I read an article on this subject, meekness, and I thought it fit very well, this one statement. It says, the call of discipleship is a call to be tamed by the master. Let me read that again. The call of discipleship is a call to be tamed by the master. And it's interesting, the idea is right there in what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke upon you. And that's exactly and literally what that means. It is that our strength or our will be tamed by the will of the master. Strength under his control. And I just got a couple more comments, believe it or not, and I'm going to close. Philippians chapter 2, I want to read some of this here. He says, therefore, if there is, starting with verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfilling my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, having the same love, I'm sorry, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And I'm going to stop there because to look out for someone else when you're, I mean, we're just almost programmed to look out for ourselves or to want for ourselves, aren't we? We're almost programmed that way in humanity. But to give that up and to give up our will for the sake of someone else, that does not take a weak person. That takes someone that is strong. Then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That was that one that didn't come out and was arrogant or, you know, I'm better than you. That was the one that came out and said, I love you. I want to care for you. I want you to be like me. I want you to follow me. I want you to learn from me. I want you to imitate me. I want you to be gentle. I want you to be loving. But at the same time, stand up for me. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Here he was. He was God. And he was God on earth, but he became a human. Jesus' life was a testimony, and still is a testimony of meekness. And may our life also be a testimony of meekness. Jesus' life reflected the great strength of gentleness and meekness. The meek will inherit the earth. Well, we know the earth is going to be destroyed. If we believe the gospel, if we believe the New Testament scripture, we know the earth, that we, as we know it, is going to be destroyed someday. So there's not going to be much to inherit if that's what he's talking about. Some rubble. Might even be hot so we couldn't stand on it. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like, actually, to be honest. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, if you follow me, if you lead, if you imitate me, then I'll lead you to the kingdom of heaven. And that's what he's saying. So I'm going to offer up Christ's invitation this morning. After his conversion, the Apostle Paul truly took on the mind of Christ. He says, be an imitator of me like I am of Christ. He sacrificed his mind and he sacrificed his body for the cause of Christ. There was one time he was stoned to death, stoned to almost death, and got back up and started preaching to the people that had actually stoned him. That does not sound like somebody that's meek or weak, like the world describes meekness. He had a gentle spirit, though, which was displayed in strength when he preached the gospel of Christ. He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. That was going to be a tough place to preach. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Though meek and mild and gentle in spirit, the Apostle Paul spoke boldly about Christ Jesus. And he instructed, and others who are instructed this way should receive meekness. He says there, and James says in verse 21 of chapter 1, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive the meekness, the implanted word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So we started out talking about the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit understood that they have a condition that they can't remedy themselves. We then went on to talk about those that are blessed because they mourn. Blessed are those that mourn. They understood the reason now why they are poor in spirit, and they understand the reason for their condition, and they are to receive the word with meekness, a willingness to be submissive to the saving grace of the gospel of Christ. The gentle and meek spirit, that person has the aptitude to mourn over their sin, to mourn over what's wrong. The proud will never come to the cross. They'll never kneel and humble and be gentle in spirit. They will never mourn as they kneel at the cross. They will never kneel at the cross. They will never mourn over their sin. Where do you find yourself today? Have you knelt before the cross? Have you submitted yourself in humility to the will of God? and been obedient to his death, burial, and resurrection through being immersed in water, simulating that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Have you come in contact with the blood of Christ? If you have not, today is the day. Don't delay. Perhaps you already have done that, but you have reflected on your life and you realize that you need to maybe recommit to him. Or maybe you have a need of prayer. This is the place to come if you have a spiritual need of any kind. So whatever we can do to help you today, please let us know while we stand and while we sing.